WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
The December holiday season is over, the calendar has turned, and TV is getting ready to get back to business. TV critic David Bianculli says that even this early in the game, cable seems to be beating the broadcast networks to the punch.
If it seems like a long time since TV's been worth watching, that's because it has been. But check out what's in store this Sunday. On HBO, the season premieres of Oz and Sex and the City. On Showtime, the season premieres of The Chris Isaak Show and Queer as Folk. All of them on cable, all of them about to roll out new episodes every week without interruption, and all of them, except for Queer as Folk, absolutely excellent. Cable networks like HBO and Showtime used to be in the pay movie business. That's why people subscribe to them and watch them and talk about them. You could watch movies at home without commercials or editing, and that was enough to keep subscribers coming. Then came the VCR and the home video market, and eventually the DVD. Now cable figures the best way to keep viewers tuned in is to create and present programs they can't see anywhere else. Programs that, for the most part, can't be shown on network TV, either because of raw content or out of the mainstream subject matter. The Larry Sanders Show, Gary Shandling's fabulous send-up of talk shows and celebrity culture, was an early HBO triumph. Dream On, a sexy comedy about a divorced man in New York, was another. And now we have, on cable, the brilliance of The Sopranos, the boldness of Six Feet Under, and all the shows that are returning this Sunday. Oz and Sex and the City deserve special mention for completely different reasons. Oz deserves praise because it predated Sopranos, has been just as daring and even more consistent, and is the exact kind of show, a drama set in a maximum security prison, that seems unthinkable on broadcast television. And Sex and the City, which also predated Sopranos, gets credit for improving greatly since it began. In the show's first two seasons, the women on the show, portrayed so confidently and playfully by Sarah Jessica Parker, Kim Cattrall, Kristen Davis, and Cynthia Nixon, seemed aimless, rootless, and unchanging. Men came and went, and commitments were rare and fleeting. But that all changed more recently as the characters allowed love and other complications into their lives. As we begin this new mini-season, Parker's Carrie has invited her new boyfriend to move in. Cattrall's Samantha has become strongly attached to a man who's as casual about sex as she is. Davis's Charlotte is trying to save her new marriage, and Nixon's Miranda, who has no plans for marriage, is having a baby. So when these ladies meet these days for lunch, a constant staple of Sex and the City, the discussions are less about sex than before. In fact, for unusually large chunks, their conversations can even be played on the radio.
A plant. The man brought a living thing into my apartment. I don't do plants. I kill everything I bring in there.
You said yes to moving in. The guy moved in.
But he's taking over whole areas.
This is why I've never lived with a man. This and the fact that I want them out an hour after I climax.
You let them stay a whole hour?
You'd be surprised how many are ready to go again after a quick catnap.
And there's no walls, you know. There's nowhere to hide. As soon as I walk in the door, he's all up in my face with, who'd you see? Where'd you go? Who'd you meet? What do you know? What I know is I need time to decompress, just be alone.
But Carrie, there are gonna have to be some adjustments. Relationships are hard.
Oh, you guys, I miss walking into my apartment with no one there and it's all quiet. And I can do that stuff you do when you're totally alone, things you would never want your boyfriend to see you do.
Like masturbate?
My SSB, my secret single behavior. Like, I like to make a stack of saltines. I put grape jelly on them. I eat them standing up in the kitchen, reading fashion magazines.
Why standing up?
Oh, it's weird, but it just feels great.
I like to put Vaseline on my hands and put them in those Borghese conditioning gloves while watching infomercials.
Before I was married, I used to study my pores in a magnifying mirror for an hour each night. But I'm afraid Trey will just think it's weird.
Well, he would. You can't do that stuff in front of men. What about you, Lolita? Anything you do you wouldn't want a man to see?
No. You know I believe her.
The series is facing new issues, too, and none of these relationships is taken lightly or resolved easily. By the end of this new group of shows, Sex and the City presents its best and most dramatic episodes yet and ought to help keep HBO subscribers happy. On broadcast TV, meanwhile, they're taking at least a few lessons from cable. On Fox, the exciting different series 24 is being shown twice weekly in primetime. That's a programming move stolen from cable, and one that nets a few million extra viewers a week without costing any more money. And on all the networks, quirky, entertaining new shows, such as Undeclared, Scrubs, Alias, and Smallville, are succeeding by thinking more like cable. Instead of trying to program shows that will appeal to everyone, the networks are presenting well-made series that are more likely to please some of the people, some of the time. And in this new century, in this era of narrowcasting and a fragmented TV universe, that's really the best way to succeed.
David Bianculli is TV critic for the New York Daily News.